Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman, the founder of the Kabbalah Lam Association. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about Torah and mitzvot, the Torah and the commandments. Turns out, it's infinitely deep. We'd like to talk about the way we perceive reality, some amazing stuff. Tal, please. Yeah, the Torah and mitzvot, Torah and commandments for a secular person isn't something really appealing. We keep part of the customs, part of the mitzvot, the commandments out of respect for the tradition. It gives a sense of family, warmth. But I think that were we to know that behind these things there are fascinating secrets about reality and our existence, I think that it would have been much more appealing for us to get to know them. And on our recent shows, I started to understand that the things behind the Torah and mitzvot are things that I couldn't even imagine. The way I perceive reality, the way I behave, everything. I think it's much closer maybe to quantum physics and cognition than to what I considered as religion or blind faith, something completely different to what I thought. And today we'd like to scrutinize and take a deeper look at what Torah and mitzvot are from this perspective. What does it have to do with the way I perceive reality? I did some research before I came to the studio, what the science say about perception of reality. And quantum physics for many years now knows that what we perceive as materialistic objects, they're actually more empty space than anything else, that it's information. And today, cognition can say that reality is like a computer interface, that we see icons behind which there are things that we have no idea what they are. And scientists, they see it and understand it, but don't understand what is that reality behind these icons. They're asking, how can we actually come to know these things? Is it possible to understand these things at all? So today, we'd maybe like to try and decipher the greatest mystery of all, the perception of reality, our consciousness, the essence of our existence through the window of Torah and mitzvot. I think that it could be really interesting. So what's the connection, actually, between the 613 mitzvot, commandments, the 613 laws and customs we know, and the way we perceive reality? First of all, we know that at the foundations of reality are forces. That before the particles started materializing, even the elementary particles like electrons, protons, so on, before that, there were forces. And actually, the Big Bang is some kind of a force which started forming matter. And the penetration of this force into the world of matter, into the place it created, the place itself, it's also something that we don't understand. The universe we exist in, what does it mean, the place of the universe? And afterwards, how in this universe, in this place, particles started forming. And these particles, which developed through that force, which developed them, started accumulating and connecting between them and created different chemical compounds from the Mendeleev chart and so on. Meaning we already understand that if we go back through matter to the particles, which physicists are researching today through the accelerators and so on, we discover forces. And these forces, there are such forces that we can research. These are the forces of this world, where these forces, these aren't forces that came before matter, but after matter, meaning that matter, which already exists, it creates around it special fields, electromagnetic fields, fields of rejection or gravitation and so on. So we know how to research all those things that came out after the creation of the universe, which is the creation of matter and the results from matter, which are its forces. But the forces which come before matter, this is something that we don't know about. It's something that we can't come to through science, simply because we don't have the ability to grasp it, to perceive it. Our perception of reality is built out of what we're made of. And it can't be something that comes before I was created. I can toy with my mind, with the different ways that the mind perceives reality, but I have to say that all that is already from pre-made things, from things that already exist. I can also discover pretty interesting things, special things, but they're still within the boundaries of psychology, and we can't really use them, and if we can, then in a very limited fashion, because it has to do with science and matter. We can't come out of matter, breach the boundaries of matter. And therefore, if we want to talk about the forces which are above matter, that precede matter, that control matter and control us, and of course, Earth and everything that's on Earth, where we're just a tiny part of the universe, what we think about ourselves, that we're something exalted, great, strong. Of course not. We're just small particles, bug-like, that are roaming the small sphere that's somewhere in the general realm of the universe. So let's think in a completely different way, because this way we won't be able to reach anything. Through physics and our sciences, we can't get far, because it's all a result of matter, and compared to this matter, we're just a small grain. Is there something beyond matter? This is something else. If we want to know what's beyond matter, we have to go backwards, meaning specifically to those forces which formed our universe and developed in order to form it. And what is the purpose of all these forces? What is their goal? What happens in that place, if you can say that, and in a time that is prior to our universe, to our world, before us, which is probably where all the forces and the program is? And there we can find the reason for our existence and for our universe and for everything else, and also the purpose, the goal for which everything exists to begin with. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah, it immediately takes us outside of this universe. And it explains about the forces which are above matter, before our matter. And it says that before the emanators were emanated and the creatures were created, there was one upper force only, unlimited. And as it says, it had no prinat rosh or prinat sof, meaning no beginning or end, but it was all fulfilled with the light of en sof, of endlessness. And that light started working on the tiniest spiritual matter, which it formed, existence from absence, out of nothing, counter to itself, and as the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches, how out of that matter creation and creatures were created, and that creature is all in all called a desire, the power or the force of desire. We can attain that force only as the force to bestow, the desire to bestow. The force that is controlling and governing, but we call it a desire, the desire to bestow. And the force it created is called the will to receive. These two forces, all in all, are operating within the spiritual creation. We're not yet talking about our universe or our world here or Earth or about us. Not at all. We're talking about that which happened before the Big Bang. If we can say before, not in terms of time, but in terms of cause and consequence. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us. Meaning the wisdom of Kabbalah, it researches through Kabbalists that through a very special internal technique, not the one that physicists have like microscopes and telescopes and high mathematics and so on and so forth. It is a completely different level of research, an internal research within man. We can perform different actions by which we become an inseparable part of those processes which occurred as if before our universe. Why can we do that? Because really, time doesn't exist. Time is the greatest illusion that exists in us. And if we rise above the speed of light, where our world was created beneath the speed of light, which is 300,000 kilometers per second, then we actually go out into a state where time doesn't exist as we know it, but what we have there is spiritual time, which is cause and consequence. And then we can start researching all of the prior processes, that which happened before. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah is engaged in, as I said. And then it tells us about how, out of these two forces, the first force, which is the positive force of bestowal called light, and the other force that the light has created, which is the force of the will to receive, which is called darkness, out of these two forces, the spiritual world is formed. And it itself is divided into five sub-worlds, which are called Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and within them many other systems that are interconnected between them ideally, where all in all they complete each other, and all in all what they built is special, unanimous form called the world of Insof, the world of endlessness, unlimited. Of course, we're not talking about distances, because distances, they exist only in our world, in our universe. But it's a world of qualities, where in this realm or space, there are only two qualities, reception and bestowal. And to the extent to which these two qualities are connected between them, to that extent, we examine this higher spiritual world and begin to see there, identify different forms, degrees, what we call partsufim, worlds, olamot, many different actions. But all in all, to cut things short, there's something very simple here. These two forces, which form the spiritual world, with an infinite amount of results out of these two forces, of the force of reception and the force of bestowal, their goal, after the entire development, is to create a special creature called a human being, Adam in Hebrew, in this world, meaning with respect to us. And in this world, when we will undergo the development through the different levels of matter, the way our universe was formed, and then Earth, and on Earth were formed the life of the still, vegetative, and animate, and we, as a result of this entire chain, are formed on Earth. Then, in our development, we'll come to the recognition that we're developing only by one force. An evil force, the force of reception, the force of darkness, a black force. And when we will reach that state where we will no longer be able to exist based solely on this one force, and this is what's happening today, we're starting to acknowledge that we live in a world which is completely based on the force of the ego, the force of reception, and we exist in a way where no one takes anyone else into account, and everyone wants to benefit and enjoy, and we don't care about living a beastly animalistic life. We don't want anything higher. And only the problems and troubles on this very simple corporeal level, the problems necessitate us to start thinking about how can we be saved from all of those problems and troubles and threats we see coming our way. And then, when on the one hand, we see that as a result of the thousands of years of our development, we've reached a state where we're big egoists, and on the other hand, where we're already worthy of seeing that this ego is a destructive force, and if we take care of it, we don't have to take care of anything else because it controls us and our life and is leading all of us towards devastation. Therefore, we can use the wisdom of Kabbalah, a method which explains this entire development, and why are we developing this way? Why are we a part of this development? Where besides the negative force that we're immersed in, we have to draw the positive force. And the positive force awakens and reaches us, and is at our disposal on condition that we really want to use it in a positive way for connection. So, turns out that the negative force is the distancing force, like our ego, like it works. I'm ready to bring someone closer, but simply to exploit him. It seems that I'm bringing him closer, but I throw him even further away. And the positive force, it's a force where I use everyone in order to impart and bestow good upon them, meaning opposite to our ego, opposite to our nature. We see in our world no manifestation of the positive force in any way. There's no demonstration of the positive force, but from within us, we can start awakening it within us, among us, as a result of gathering in special circles, which the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us how to do it. And let's say that as a result of these exercises that we perform between us, we draw this positive force, the force of good. It appears between us, and by it we can start balancing ourselves between the evil and good force. And then, as it says, we become like the Creator, knowing good and evil, discerning good and evil. This is what we do. And then, all of this good force that reaches us as a result of the right kind of connections between us, as a result of studying what the Kabbalists wrote about this force and the way it works, that's how we draw it upon us. Then it awakens within us and appears. It becomes revealed. That good force is called Torah, from the Hebrew word or light. This is the light you talked about in the beginning. Yeah, it has different modes on all levels. And it corrects our ego. It can't do anything with us. Besides, it influences us, but it can't pass its nature on to us simply so, because we consist of the nature of the will to receive. And through its influence over us, it inverts our evil nature that we used to enjoy into a good nature, so I start enjoying doing good to others. This is something that we can't grasp in our world and that doesn't exist in our world, but it happens. Some force works on me and I start enjoying giving, bestowing. And you might say that in our world we have such examples that people do good to other people, they work in hospitals, they take care of the elderly and so on, they save animals, Greenpeace. No, they're doing it because they are built that way in their ego. It's an egoistic expression. You're talking about something else. Yes, I'm talking about something else. I'm saying that really the higher force comes through special targeted actions on our behalf. And this good force, it processes our egoistic will to receive from light to heavy, because there are many levels to our ego. All in all, these levels together, they're called the 613 egoistic desires, and it takes care of them. And then accordingly, I use these desires instead of receiving and enjoying and draining the others. I use them in order to bestow, to give, to love. And this inversion in the way of the use of the 613 desires of mine, called Taryag Retzonot, 613 desires, from enjoying them, which is called the Klipa, the shell, or the ego, into bestowal, that's called keeping the mitzvot, or the commandments. And all in all, this action is called Lachzor B'tshuva in Hebrew, which means repentance, which means that I return to that good force, which is the source of all of creation. And when I start doing that with myself, and in inverting my actions from reception to bestowal, accordingly to the extent to which I can, in those corrected desires of mine, I start seeing within these desires phenomenon called the higher world. And the phenomena which I have not yet corrected, there I'm still in a phenomena where I see the lower world, which is the ordinary world we see. Yeah, our ordinary world. And this is how we actually have to undergo, with the help of the higher force, shift from the reality which we achieve and attain now to the upper spiritual reality in our world, accordingly, disappears from us. It disappears because I stop feeling it. What's interesting about it is that those people that are working on it and attain it, that which they achieve during their lifetime here, because in this world we also exist in body, with our animalistic body on the animate level, from living matter. We consist of living matter like all other animals. So, to the extent to which I have attained the spiritual world, I remain in it. And I as if continue my existence after I pass away from this body, after it dies. Then I don't exist in a completely egoistic way, but that form of giving, the altruistic form, let's call it, but only spiritual altruistic. So I exist and feel that world because it's an eternal world. There's no time, space, or motion there like in corporeality. And in order to perform the correction, to continue the corporeal existence, I return to the corporeal existence. I'm born and I develop in order to complete the correction again and again, as many times as you need. I'd like to get to know a bit better this corporeal world that we exist in, that we understand. The only thing that we actually understand, because we see so many details and people, that's a matter of root and branch, where the entire upper system, which is a system of forces, a network of forces, it's operating on our world, on all the matter that exists in our universe, and especially on Earth, and especially over us. It's all one system, our entire world, and the entire spiritual world It's like a network of forces that is operating our world. Is it possible to say that it's like the icons in a computer behind which there are algorithms and formulas? Of course, but I don't want to people to get confused between the two, because it seems to me that we have to learn about what we have in spirituality, and then we can maybe draw parallel lines to what we have in corporeality. Even though that we're talking about computers, we weren't breaching out of our egoistic perception of this world, and therefore it won't really help us. How will it help me, the icons on a computer, if it's written down in some way and I wrote it down and there it's in electrical forms or something? How can that help me? It's just the way that you write it down. Or I do it with a hammer and a chisel on a rock, or I write it on a computer. There is no difference. I write my information. So it doesn't change. So I can use my information in different manners. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's just a metaphor in order to emphasize that we're in an imaginary reality behind which, we don't necessarily have to take examples from computers for that. We have that in our world. We have in our world enough examples for it. But again, nothing similar to the spiritual world. We can't compare it with anything. Therefore, the example with the computer, I don't think it's a good one. Our time's almost up. If you can summarize the topic of perception of reality and the Torah and mitzvot, Torah and commandments. Torah and mitzvot, it means the correction of our will to receive, a person's will to receive, which are called his 613 corrupted egoistic desires, which we invert with the help of the reforming light, in Hebrew called the Mor HaMachzir LaMotav, the Torah, from reception to bestowal, from hatred to love, and therefore the Torah is called the Torah of Or, of light, and therefore it says, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah spice, because the light that exists in the Torah, in this entire technology of the correction, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's called the Torah of light, the method of light. The light in it reforms, and the right utilization of the wisdom of Kabbalah, it corrects a person and turns him into a spiritual person. And how does it influence the way I perceive reality? You start seeing all of the worlds transparently, through all the worlds, from the lowest world, through the 125 degrees, through the five worlds, to the world of Ensof, of endlessness. You're in all of them. And by that, you become an eternal being, because the body isn't yours. You cease feeling that it belongs to you, and you rise to the world of forces with your awareness, with what? With your awareness, with your desires, with your so-called heart and mind. Unfortunately, our time's up. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.